Session number 20150, Samuel Earle, Reel 1.
Mr. Earl, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
The next village, a little village, St. Cross.
Is this in Norfolk?
Yes, it's about 2 miles from here.
And which
no, year? It's Suffolk. This is Suffolk where I live.
And which year was this?
1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling at St. Cross?
Yes, yes.
How old were you when you left school?
5 years old.
When you started, that was?
Yes.
How old were you when you finished?
14.
So that would have been in 35?
Yes, right.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
Doing what?
I worked on the farm.
Is that what you were doing when war broke out?
Yes.
Had you joined TA before the war?
No.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
No, I didn't. No.
How did you feel about it when you heard the news?
Well, being 14 years of age, I don't think I really understood what that was all about.
Did the war affect you at first?
Yes. Yes, my father was in the First World War, and he told me quite a bit about it. Not very good things, but I didn't take too much notice of it then, when he told me.
Was he in the army?
No, he was a navy man. Yes, he got mentioned in dispatch as he was on a minesweeper. And he told me why he got mentioned in dispatches, or how he got mentioned, was he sunk a mine with rifle fire out in the Dardanelles, that was. Yeah. Yeah.
And can you tell me what it was like for you in farming in the early part of the war, please?
Well, it's not. It was all right. I was brought up in the country, on the farms, round the farms. And I knew quite a lot about farm work before I actually started on the farm. Yeah.
What kind of farm work were you doing?
I'd done anything. I was ploughing, drilling, looking after cattle, sort of general, yeah.
What were the farmers like as employers?
Not very good.
What was the problem?
Well, he didn't get much money, and the conditions were terrible, really. You have to work out in the rain, however it rained hard or what. But see, I was brought up in the country, and I used to watch all the other farm workers, and my father told me all about it, so didn't hit me too hard that way.
What kind of wages were they paying?
I got about 9 shillings and something, 9 shillings and 10 pence, I think, a week. Mm.
Were there any extras that you got?
No, no extras, unless you'd done some extra hours overtime. Yeah.
Did you have a cottage from the farmers?
Yes. Yes, my father worked for Flixton Hall Estate. And it was a big thatched house. Way out in the wilds, and not very nice. An old thatched house that was rats in the thatch, and you could hear them nights when we was in the bedrooms, walking in the attic floors.
Could you do anything about the rats?
Yeah, well, we tried to. We used to try and shoot them. Well, I didn't, but other men used to come up and put ferrets in the thatch to huss the rats out, and they'd shoot them, but it was a problem because they was out of one hole and into another one. You see, there was another one.
Could you poison them?
I could have done, but I don't think my father went much on poison in the house or around the house. We had cats and dogs.
Did you have to pay rent for the cottage?
A small rent. Not very much.
What would that amount to?
About half a crown a week.
Did you get any other benefits from the farmers?
No. Yes, wood. Free wood, foreign. Used to go and collect the wood, saw it up, and all the fires then were wood. Mm-hmm.
So was most of your work arable work?
Yes.
Or with animals?
Both. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the names of any other employers? Other farmers that you worked for?
No. Oh yes, after the war. I worked for a farmer after the war.
What was his name?
Mr. Brock. B-R-O-C-K. Quite a nice gentleman he was. He was wounded in the First World War.
Where did he farm?
At St. Cross.
Were agricultural workers in the National Union of Agricultural Workers?
Some of them were. Some of them were too scared to join. The farmers didn't like being in the union. Not then.
Did you join it?
I did, yes. Yeah.
What did you have to pay to the union?
I can't remember now. Not very much. I used to collect it monthly. The chap used to come round. I think that was about something like a shilling a month. Round about that.
Did the union do anything for you?
Not for me, but they did a bit for my dad. They got him £1,000. That was when he was about 70. Someone knocked him off his bicycle on a motorbike and injured him. And he got £1,000. I started off and I had a job to get it, but carried on for quite a while. We got it in the finish.
Who paid the £1,000?
Union. Land Workers Union got it.
But who actually paid the £1,000?
Oh, the chap that he was on a motorbike. His insurance. Yeah.
What kind of hours would you do?
I used to do from 7 in the morning, had half an hour for dinner and leave off at 5, then work Saturday morning from 7 till 12.
Did you ever have any injuries?
On the farm? No.
Did the work cause you any sickness?
No, not really, no.
Now, can you tell me how you came to be in the forces, please?
Yes, I volunteered for the forces. Yeah.
Why did you do that?
I'm fed up with the farm work. It was not much good on the farm. It wasn't life, really.
Had the war improved your wages at all?
No. Not when I first started. About a shilling more a week, that's all. When I first joined up, I think it was 10 and something.
Can you tell me how you went about volunteering for the forces, please?
Yes, I went to Norwich recruitment place and they gave me a medical and asked me a few questions and that was that.
What was it that you wanted to join?
Well, actually, I was going in the Navy, my dad was, but I couldn't get in there, so I went in the Marines, Royal Marines.
Where did you do your training?
Portsmouth.
What was that like?
Pretty, well, not too bad. I enjoyed it, really, because I was brought up rough, and didn't make too much difference to me.
Do you know the date that you joined up?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Which year was it, do you know?
40.
1940?
Yeah.
Can you describe what the training was like, please?
Yes, it was a Portsmouth barracks, Royal Marine barracks. They had a big parade ground. I spent quite a lot of time on the parade ground. I enjoyed it, really. And I thought I was a bit outstanding to some of the other ones. because I was brought up rough, and the food I got there was much better than the food I got at home, and more of it.
What kind of food was it?
Quite good food, yes.
Can you describe it?
Well, you had cooked food, you had eggs, bacon, fried bread for your breakfast, and a good cooked dinner, vegetables, meat, or fish, and tea, you got cake, sweet cake, bread and jam. Quite sufficient food, yes.
How did the recruits all get on with each other?
Quite well, yeah.
Were you able to cope with what they expected of you?
Yes, oh yes. Yeah, I could do everything. I passed out in the sea service, some of them didn't. And if you passed out in the sea service, you went to sea on a ship, you see. And that's what happened to me. I started off on an aircraft carrier. That's where I started off.
Which aircraft carrier was this?
HMS Indomitable.
Where did you pick up that ship?
Liverpool. Gladstone Dry Dock it was in when I went on up.
What kind of quarters did you have in the ship?
Quite good.
Did you sleep in a hammock?
Yes, it was a new ship. It was built at Barrow-on-Furness, and it came straight down to Liverpool and went in dry dock there. That's where I joined it there.
What was the food like in the ship?
Quite good.
Mm-hmm. Just as good as at Pompeii?
Better. Yeah.
What kind of duties did you have in the ship?
Different other things you had to do, but main thing that was during the war was looking after 4.5 guns, twin turrets. When we was at sea, it was mostly action stations then. We was joined up and formed up around the guns. Apart from that, we done other different things like keyboard sentry and like that.
Could you be comfortable in the ship?
Yeah.
What was discipline like in the ship?
I was really strict in the ship, yes.
Did you ever get punished?
Never. I was a good boy.
What were the officers like?
Quite good. Quite a lot of them were fleet air arm pilots. And I think most of them had just joined up and they learned to fly for the war service. Yeah, and not very old, they're very young.
Where did the ship go to at first from Liverpool?
It went to done the sea trials atop the around the Atlantic, and then we went to Bermuda. Actually, what should have happened, we was down to join the Prince of Wales and then repulse battleships. Our captain, he refused a pilot going out of Kingston Harbour, Bermuda, and we hit the rock. And we got hung up on the rock and couldn't get off. And that resulted in other ships and tugs pulling us off. And the damage to the ship was quite a lot. And we went to Norfolk, Virginia, America, for repairs. And I think that was lucky, really, for every one of us on the ship, because if we would have carried on and joined the Prince of Wales and repulse, I think we'd have finished up where they did. They both got sunk, didn't they? I don't think our aircraft could have been anything, any good really, to stop the jets what they had. I think that was a start of me being lucky, that was.
Where were you when the ship ran aground?
On the ship, yeah. We was closed up around the turrets. We usually were when we was entering harbour. Mm-hmm.
Did they make an attempt to try to swing the ship off?
Yeah. The captain had the ship's company go aft on the flight deck, and they had the Royal Marine Band playing a tune, and he told us, that the captain told us, to jump up and down. It didn't make any difference. It was so big it didn't move a bit. So in the finish, there was two corvettes I come and pulled us off. I think they had one tug, I'm not sure. They pulled us off. When we got to America in dry dock, and you could see the hole in the ship, it's marvellous how it kept on the water, really. It was a huge hole. It was big enough to get two double-decker buses in it.
Mm. What did you do when you were in America?
Not much, really. We stayed on the ship and used to go ashore. That was before the Americans were in the war. And they didn't like us. And the first night ashore, there was a real fight. Quite a few of them come back and they'd got injured, cuts in the face and that.
Was this with the American Navy?
Yeah, that's where they were stationed there, you see. That was their place there, wasn't it? Virginia, north of Virginia.
Were you in the fight?
No, no.
Why not?
I don't know why. I think I was in the crowd that just didn't get, you know, because not everyone, but I think the majority of them were Stokers who started them. I saw a fight.
Can you describe it?
Yeah. I mean, it was going past a big cafe or restaurant, the glass windows in, and the Americans and the English boys met, and that started. And I saw one man, one of our men, I think he was a Stoker, hit the American. He must have been a boxer. He lifted him off his feet and put him right through the glass window and split his arm down there. And that's what started the big fight. I think the most sensible thing to have done then was just either go that way or this way. I didn't get mixed up with that.
Did you dislike the Americans?
Then I did, yeah. Mm.
Why did you dislike them?
Well, because of that, I suppose.
How did you get on with the American civilians?
Quite well.
Did they do anything for you?
Yes. Yes, two young boys had a car. They took us out, took us a ride round. Yeah. And we found a girlfriend. They took us home. Give us a meal. One of them. There was two of us. Two of the American women took us in, and they gave us a good meal and some beer. We had quite a good time there. One of them said her husband was in the American Navy and he was away somewhere. Yeah.
Any other experiences you had at Norfolk, Virginia?
No, well, I went there twice. I went there after we got torpedoed in the Mediterranean. Landings on Italy. We got torpedoed there.
We'll come on to that in due course. So, the Indomitable was being repaired at Norfolk.
Yeah.
Once it was repaired, what happened then?
And we went to sea and done some trials. And we went around to Cape Town, Durban, and then we had to go Port Sudan and pick up 60 Spitfires. All planes flew off, and the Air Force boys had to help, and then some of the locals put the planes on and took them to Singapore. We didn't go right to Singapore, we couldn't go there then. They flew the planes off at Java, just off Java. And it was marvellous, really, because nearly every pilot was nothing only his highest rank was a sergeant, and they was all Canadians. And they used to have lectures down in the hangar on the way from Port Sudan to there, what to do, how to use this and that, flying off. They'd never done it before. They'd never flew on or off an aircraft before, because we used to talk to them in the evenings about it. And one plane had engine trouble. The smoke was coming from it, and a captain gave him permission to land if he wanted to, and he got head to wind, and he landed, and he hadn't got a hook on his plane, but he made a marvellous landing. He smashed his undercarriage, but he didn't go over the end. He made a marvellous landing, he did, and he stayed on the ship with us. Wonderfully, air arm officers made the plane up and put a hook on. He used it himself. He used it in the Malta convoys. Lieutenant Commander Judd, that's what it was. And he went up and he just got shot all to pieces. And the pilot, the sergeant pilot who landed the plane on, he was unlucky, really, because he might have been better off if he'd landed in Singapore. When we got bombed in the Malta convoys, he got killed there, so yeah, he didn't. What happened to the other pilots, we were told, they didn't know anything about who was at Singapore and who wasn't, but they just landed, and there was the Japs ready to, and they took them all prisoner.
Yeah. So you'd gone from America to the Red Sea,
mm-hmm.
and then to the Far East?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened then?
When we got rid of all the planes, we had to come back again to pick our own up. Port Sudan, they flew, I know they landed somewhere around there, landed on. I've jumped the gun a bit. Prior to that, it was a Madagascar landings on Madagascar. That was before. And
what happened on the Madagascar landings?
Some of our planes took off. And I think one or two of them shot up, whether it was an enemy ship, I don't know whose ship it was, they shot it up in the harbour. Then we got in the harbour, and in the afternoon, and as night was getting there, it was getting dark, I was detailed off. I shall never forget that. I was detailed off to get ready, take a brain gun and the ammunition on this little boat. I know that's a pinnace or what it was, but they chipped me on board and made a tripod, a wooden tripod, on the front, on the bows, for the brain gun to fix on. And a leading seaman, the coxswain, and there was a junior naval officer. I don't know what rank he'd be, whether he's a midshipman or something. And we went out, and it was dark by the time we We had to travel from one side of the harbour to the other. It wasn't far across. And what the reason why they done that is they thought, or they said, there were some Japanese two-man submarines, some of them, Olympic mine boys. And we'd got patrol the harbour, and that was why I'd got the Bren gun. I don't know what I was going to do with that. And if they surfaced to shoot, I did shoot the gun, but just to try it out. When I tried it out, I shot one magazine when we got in the harbour mouth out to sea, and the tripod broke, and the gun just flopped down like that. And that was the end of my job on there, trying to shoot a Japanese submarine. But they kept us out there for 2 hours.
Which harbour was this?
That was the only harbour. What was there? I can't.
Not Diego Suarez.
Diego Suarez, you got it. That's the one. That's the one.
Any other memories from Madagascar?
Yeah, when we got back to the ship, and there was a ladder out from the quarter deck, and I was a sergeant butler. He went to take the Bren gun off me, and there was a bit of a swell and a tip in the ship, and that's where the Bren gun went. Nothing was ever said about that. I don't know whether I could have got wrong over it, but nothing was said about that one. And I never did meet that. The Cox and all the naval officer, junior one, afterwards. I don't think I ever see him on the ship, because it was dark when we was on the boat, small boat. I joined the Indomitable Association, and through writing to him, I tried to find out if the ship he was still alive or anything, but no, I couldn't find anything about that.
What do you remember happening next?
I think what happened when we come out there, I think that was the previous question you asked me about. I told you we went to, picked up the planes, Port Sudan. Yeah, that was where we went. Yeah.
Had the ship been damaged by the enemy so far?
No.
So what happened after you took the planes to the Far East?
We went to Colombo, Bombay, yeah. And two cruisers we had to go and escort. The Devonshire and the Dorset. We escorted them out from, I think it was Colombo or Bombay, and I don't know how far we went, but one of our pilots who was up, he landed, and he'd been shot and wounded by a Jap planes, and he was a lucky man, really, if you've seen his plane, all the holes there, wasn't it? That was a little Grumet martlet, I think it was, I called them, martlets. And we didn't go too, we kept going and going. And then I suppose the signal was, I about turn. And we hadn't left them long before we heard, or we were told, both them ships were sunk. Yeah. So we didn't do much good there, did we? No. But what happened to the pilots of the Spitfires that we took to Singapore, what flew off at Java, I don't know what happened to them chaps. I've never read in any books or heard anyone say exactly what really happened to them pilots. All we knew is they all got